Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. I hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, you want to join the conversation, you have a comment, you can text 437-1620. This morning, I have attorney Terrence Gross with Gross & Schuster. Good morning, Terrence. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to be here. Glad to be talking with our listeners, and I do like it when they do call in or text us with questions that they relate to injury cases, because that's all I do. I've been a lawyer for 43 years, but when I was out somewhere around 6 years, I decided to be an exclusive personal injury lawyer, and that's what I do, and I gave up all other forms of practice other than pretty much representing people regarding car wrecks. So today, Tammy, what I want to do is talk about either three-legged stools or slot machines.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it's the same topic, yeah. So you got a three-legged stool. You've sat on one before, right?
Right, absolutely.
What happens if one of the legs gives out of a three-legged stool?
You fall down.
Right. And if you go to Biloxi and you're at the slot machines and you pull the arm of the slot machine and he goes, lemon, lemon, orange, what happens?
You lose.
You lose. So either you fall down the three-legged stool without having all three legs, mm-hmm. or you don't win at the slot machine if you don't get all three things in line. And this is also true with personal injury cases, because there are three variables that are interwoven in every personal injury case that affect the total outcome. So I've had people come in and they are so confident. I mean, they know they got a great case. They can't wait to tell me about it. And after I patiently listen and take notes and look at everything, you should see the look on their faces when I tell them that they have an iffy case or they don't have a case. And I'll give you a prime example. So a lady called this past week, and her husband had died in a car wreck. So he's dead. The other person caused it. Doesn't that sort of sound like a potential case that a lawyer would be interested in taking?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, at the end of going through all this, she blurted out that another lawyer whose name I recognized, who happens to be a very good lawyer himself, she told me he had turned it down. Hmm. And I knew right away what the problem was, because you got a death, you got clear liability. Why would a lawyer turn it down? Because probably there's no coverage. So we contacted that lawyer's office just to do due diligence. I mean, even though I knew in my heart what the answer was going to be, and we got the paperwork from that lawyer, and yes, it confirmed exactly what I suspected, and I told her when she was meeting with me, but the person that caused the wreck did not have bodily injury coverage. So Florida's actually got an exception in the statute where you don't even have to purchase bodily injury. 50% of the drivers only have a 10, so even a 10 limit wouldn't have helped us with the wrongful death case. But they had none, and this lady had waived uninsured motorists, so there was no insurance company to go after. And no lawyer with any walking around sense is going to sue a turnip, a person that didn't even have car insurance, doesn't have bodily injury. That wasn't Donald Trump or Ross Perot or John Rockefeller. That was just some person barely getting by in this world and who bought the cheapest amount of insurance possible. And so I said, ma'am, you know, the lawyer that you first talked to gave you good advice. I'm going to give you the same advice as him, that you really don't have a claim. I mean, your husband's dead and I'm sorry for that. The other person caused it, but there's nowhere to go because a judgment is only a piece of paper, and unless you can collect on it, it's not worth the paper it's written on. And this is a sad reality in America. That's why I'm always on a soapbox preaching to everybody, please have uninsured motorists. Please have uninsured motorists as much as you can, and stacking because of these sad situations. And I said, you can keep on going and talking to other lawyers. And if a lawyer takes it, then he's just probably very green and new and just doesn't get it. But any competent lawyer is not going to take that case. And I'm sorry for your loss, and I'm sorry that there's just no way to get compensated. So it, on its surface, it would seem like a very viable case, one that all these advertising and billboard lawyers would be climbing over each other to get to. But at the end of the day, back to the three-legged stool, back to the slot machine, you're missing one of the three key components. So it's always one of these three things. A lady interviewed with me yesterday, and she was rear-ended. Appears the defendant has coverage. She has very good coverage. But when I looked at the damage to her car, there just wasn't much visible damage. And when I was talking to her, her neck and back hurt, but she wasn't in excruciating pain. She had been to the ER and hadn't even treated yet. It's been about a week. And I said, well, here's where the dogfight's going to be on your injuries. So, yes, there's coverage. Yes, there's liability. You got rear-ended, but now you got to prove your injuries. And in Florida, on whiplashes, you have to prove the injuries are permanent. So whiplashes are invisible. You have to prove a permanent, invisible injury. And I don't want to really get facetious here because I think we all have known, heard the word permanent since we were small children. But if you just stop and think about it, because this has been the law since 1971, this permanency thing. So it's all I've ever known. I became a lawyer in 1979. So when we get to permanency, just think about that word for 1 second. Let's hit the pause button. Permanent. What does that really mean? It means forever. Forever. The word permanent means forever. So if you take a young person in their 20s or 30s and they get a whiplash and they see a chiropractor and you can't settle, now you're in the courtroom with jurors on the verdict form. There will be a question after who's, you know, there'll be all kinds of questions on the on these verdict forms, but one of the questions will be, did so-and-so, did Tammy have a permanent injury from this accident? If the jury puts no in Florida, I'm talking only Florida, I'm not talking about other states, I'm a Florida lawyer only. If the jury puts no as to permanency on the verdict form, then the judge will immediately take over and he'll tell the jury, since you put no on the verdict form as to permanency, you cannot award her any damages for pain and suffering, mental anguish, loss of capacity to enjoy her life, and such so forth. So what we call intangible damages. So if you testify that you can't play pickleball anymore or tennis anymore, or it hurts to garden, or it hurts to play tennis or jog or whatever it be, if sexual relations with your husband, whatever the problems are, problems sleeping, problems sitting for long periods of time, problems for standing. All these are real problems that many of my clients have. I've had a low back problem since the 30s, mainly from basketball and tennis. And the worst thing I could do was stand for long periods of time. I could sit fine. If I get anywhere where I have to stand for long periods of time, it just aggravates the stew out of my back. But if you looked at me, I look fine. So that's the battlefield in a lot of these cases in Florida, because since 1971, whoever's injured has to prove that they have permanent injuries. And sometimes that could be a high bar. Now, if you broke bones or you've had surgery, those cases are relatively easy to prove permanency. But on the garden variety whiplash, that's where the insurance companies dig in, and that's usually where the fight's going to be. And if there's not much damage to your vehicle, they get bolder. Now, I've had plenty of cases where people have had so-called low-impact accidents, and they've ended up in surgery, neck surgery, back surgery, whatever. It happens because the discs are not made of metal like your car, and you could herniate a disc in a 5-mile-an-hour accident, get jolted and get the whiplash and so forth. But at the end of the day, that some of these cases are a dogfight, and it's usually on that one issue. So, again, we're back to the three-legged stool. We're back to the slot machine. You need all three elements to succeed: liability, insurance coverage, and damages. And on liability, sometimes, you know, it may be clear in your mind. So we get these cases all the time where it can be, especially downtown Pensacola, there's a lot of car accidents for some reason around Garden Street and Jefferson and Spring Street and Balin. As they feed into Garden, especially late at night, whoever tends to run red lights, I guess they've been drinking or stop signs, whatever. But we see a lot of that, and a lot of times there's no witnesses. And then our client will say, "Mr. Gross, I had the green light." Meanwhile, the defendant goes, "No, I had the green light." And then it becomes a swearing match. So unless you can find some accidental surveillance, which we do, we jump on it. So we just had one. My son had one at Spring and Garden, and right there, it's the old SunTrust building. It's, you know, it's the Studer building now. Studer bought it, the old SunTrust. And they did have surveillance, and we found it, and it verified that our client was telling the truth, and it broke the case wide open. But a lot of times, if you're not lucky, now you got a dogfight. So even though in your mind, I mean, you know you had a green light, but if there's a good liar and there's no witnesses and the other person's equally adamant, now you got a dogfight, and we're back to maybe a liability problem. So going to court, the jury doesn't know, and they can flip a coin, and they may say 50-50. Who knows what a jury will say on that if there's no independent witness or independent evidence as to what color the light was. And so we work very, very hard at trying to find witnesses or trying to find surveillance, whatever maybe could help us. So it's always is moving. That's the way I look at every case. So I open up a case. In fact, when I open them up, we have, of course, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, but we have a special computer software system. So I think any high-end personal injury firm in this day and age is going to have what we call a management system, and ours is called Foulvine. It's a very good management system, but the way I set mine up, and every lawyer does a little bit differently, we have something called an incident page. And so the top part, the first one-third of that page is all about liability. And I'm always looking at it, you know. So how did the accident happen? Was my client wearing a seatbelt? Any comments the defendant may have said? Because sometimes these defendants blurt out all kinds of stuff. I was looking at the construction on the side of the road. Well, that's a pretty key thing it's admissible. That would be admissible. It's not hearsay under Florida law. So whatever it may be about liability. Then I go to insurance coverage. How much insurance does the defendant have? What? We find that out very quickly, and we enter it into the thing. So we know, we don't have to guess how much coverage they had. Then we enter our client's uninsured motorist coverage. How much, if they had $25,000 on four vehicles and it was stacking, four times $25,000 is $100,000. So right away we know the coverage within the first 30 days. We know exactly where we are on coverage. And then damages is where it unfolds. You just don't know, but we keep on adding it. Person went to the emergency room by ambulance. Person had an MRI on this date. The MRI findings were this. They saw Dr. X. Now they saw Dr. Y. They went to physical therapy and whatever it may be. And it's just a growing thing. But that's my tool for developing a case, following a case, evaluating a case. But whenever, the first time I meet them, the first day I meet my clients, they learn all about these three prongs, these three variables, whether it's the three-legged stool or whether it's the slot machine, they learn all about that. And when they finally come in, and it's been a year or two, and now we're really trying to settle, now we go back to those three prongs, and now we discuss them in great depth and how they interrelate with each other. And if I could check off, you know, all three of them, then a lot of times we do very, very well. And if I'm weak in any one of these, then we have to factor that in. I mean, a lady just came in this week, very honest, and she was not wearing a seatbelt, so they didn't cause the wreck, but she wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And her head busted out the window, and she was knocked unconscious, went to the ER, was admitted for 2 or 3 days, and now has memory problems and headaches. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if we went to court on that case, the insurance company's lawyer is going to be arguing that had she been wearing a seatbelt, maybe she wouldn't have hit her head, and she wouldn't have had all these other problems, and most of the problems she's having from this accident is because she wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And if a jury buys that, then the judge will reduce the verdict by the percentage that the jury assesses. This happened in Milton in the 1990s. I was watching a case. It wasn't mine. It was another lawyer, but a lady had been rear-ended and catapulted through her windshield, bad scarring on her face. The jury awarded her $1.1 million, but found that 90% of the injuries came from not wearing a seatbelt. So the jury leaves thinking that they gave the lady $1.1 million, but after they left, the judge reduced the 1.1 by 90%. So she got a little over $100,000 because the jury found that 90% of these injuries would never have occurred had she been wearing a seatbelt, because you're not supposed to go through a windshield if you're wearing a seatbelt. So these are the twists and turns, but it all comes back every time. It's just circular. And even as I talk now, we can keep on talking, but then if I circle the wagons, where do we go? We are back to the three-legged stool. We're back to the slot machine, and both give you very good images, because you could have two really strong, perfect legs on that one stool, but the one that's loose, the one that's cracked, that could be the one that makes you fall down and get hurt. The other two are perfectly good. The slot machine, you're lemon, orange, no payout. You got to put more money in. You got to get all three. And that's just the way it works with these personal injury cases. And people get so frustrated. And then I'll be talking to them about, you know, well, it's low impact. Your MRI didn't show much. You know, he's saying all this. And then they'll be saying, he hit me. He rear-ended me. I said, yeah, I get that. I understand that, ma'am. We know you got rear-ended. That's not a problem. I mean, their lawyer, if we went to court, the first words out of that lawyer's mouth for the insurance company is going to be, we were at fault. We messed up. We caused this wreck. We admit that. But we don't think she's as injured as she says. And that's where the fight's going to be. So they want to conflate things. So I'm trying to get them to focus on their injuries, and they'll go back to, well, I got rear-ended. How can you lose this case? I got rear-ended. Well, you got to prove your injuries. You have to, and the better the lawyer can prove your injuries, the more the case is worth. I have a fellow now, he's in a lot of pain with neck and back pain, but he had his MRIs, and really his neck and back MRIs came back pretty good. And I said, that is great for you. Wonderful. You don't need to see a surgeon. You don't have herniated disc. I'm sure you got neck and back pain, but you don't need to see a surgeon, and it's going to be harder to prove because it's an invisible injury, and not even an MRI shows an injury. Doesn't mean you can't be injured. So MRIs are looking for disc abnormalities. They don't look at small, subtle findings, miniature tears in the ligaments, and then stuff that could go on with whiplashes. They don't show that. So it doesn't mean the person's faking. It just means that the MRIs don't support or help the lawyer with objectivity, with something that could be seen with the naked eye that would confirm the injury. And so these are, they're like pieces of a puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle as you piece it together. But every time I start talking to people, every time I'm trying to evaluate a case, I'm going back and I'm always looking at these three variables. And there's many cases that I get that there's just not enough coverage. So I think the case is worth $300,000. But if there's only $50,000 in coverage, invariably, that's what a lawyer is going to accept reluctantly, because trying to get money from a person is next to impossible. You look at O.J. Simpson. They hit him up for a verdict of $22, $24 million. He was a multimillionaire at that time. He was doing Hertz ads. He was a retired NFL player. He was worth millions. He had a $1 million mansion in South Florida, but the Goldman family never saw a penny. I'm looking at my little iPhone clock here, which tells me that I better start wrapping things up. Am I correct, Tammy?
Yes, sir. You have about 20 seconds.
Well, this is Terrence Gross. Our phone number is 850-434-3333. Or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you in a couple weeks, Tammy.
Thank you, Terrence. We appreciate it this morning. Have a great rest of the week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to Pep Talk. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. It's been a pleasure having you listening this morning. Thank you so much for joining us, texting us, calling. We truly appreciate it. You don't want to miss out tomorrow's show, because we have some new guest, Ricky Stewart. She specializes in Medicare, long-term care, and also code ninjas. That's going to be a fun one. So don't miss out tomorrow on Pep Talk. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.